That's why more and more Lagosians are tuning in. 500,000 Lagosians.
720,000.
970,000. Over 1 million Lagosians. They know that if you give me your afternoon, I will give you hard facts.
Well done, Sandra, and all you do. Going beyond the headlines and focus on the facts.
I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts. Hello, Lagos. Good afternoon. I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts. Eid Mubarak to all the Muslim faithful who listen to hard facts. Congratulations on a successful Ramadan. I am really, really grateful for you, and I hope that God grants you all of your heart's desires, everything that you prayed for during Ramadan. First hard fact of the day, it is 7 days, seven, until the return of the I Beg to Differ debate tournament.
In November, it was Tamvita Kaushik.
Today, honorable judges, my moderator, timekeeper, my fellow co-debater, my name is Tamvita Kaushik. I'm 13 years old.
In March, it was Ruth Okorocha.
That's the moderator, honorable educators, co-debater, viewers, and listeners. I'm Ruth Okorocha, bona fide student of Kingsway College.
Who will it be in May?
Due to the economic situation of our country, individuals prefer to migrate to other countries in search of greener pastures.
The I Beg to Differ debate tournament is back on May 9th.
1,862 data breaches were recorded, quadrupling the amount of data breaches in recent years.
16 new debaters.
Brand source of capital invested in the subsidized public education.
17 new debate topics.
How can you say you are punishing me and it's helping me? How? It's not a punishment.
And on Children's Day, we'll do what we usually do
and end it with one winner, 1 million naira.
Join me, Sandra Ezekwesili, and catch all the action Mondays to Thursdays at 4 p.m. on Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. For partnership and sponsorship opportunities, call 0703-498-4352. Again, 0703-498-4352.
I can't wait. Now, the I Beg to Differ tournament starts next Monday, right? But the debate action starts tomorrow. We're going to have we still have two empty spots in the tournament, and we're going to fill them out this week with two playoff debates. The first one will be tomorrow at 4 o'clock. The second one Wednesday at 4 o'clock. So set your reminders, tune in, and catch the action. 1 million Lagosians cannot be wrong. Thank you for tuning in to Hard Facts today. I have a great show for you. We'll start with all the stories that broke over the weekend. Time for the big weekend. Let's talk about yet another building collapse here in Lagos. Then let's talk about the Vice President asking NLC and TUC to mediate between ASUU and the federal government. Happy Workers' Day. And then let's talk about labor leaders in Lagos calling for a minimum wage increase. Today, Chukwudi will bring you Checkpoint. And on the big hard fact, we'll talk about work. Yesterday was Workers' Day. I want you to talk to me about the state of work in Lagos, the state of work in Nigeria today. So we'll talk about your first job. My first job was as my father's manager. We had a supermarket, so I was the manager at the supermarket. And then my second job was selling clothes for a big department clothing line. Yeah, so that was my second job. My first job, my father wasn't paying me a salary. But the other job I got, I think I was earning like about 23,000 naira. Yeah, I was earning about 23,000 naira on that second job. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about your current job. What do you love about it? What do you want to change about it? That conversation will come your way at 5 o'clock. So don't miss it. If you're going somewhere, you can listen to us on online, www.nigeriainfo.fm. Set a reminder so you don't miss that conversation. 5 p.m. today. As usual, we'll bring you all the latest updates from the news, sports, and business. But for right now, let's get into the big weekend. Like I said, I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, Lagos. These are your hard facts.
The big weekend.
How resistant is the public to proper building regulations? Is the Vice President's appeal to labor unions valid?
and how much should the minimum wage be? It was a big weekend, Lagos. Let's talk. If you're watching our live stream right now, you're seeing footage after footage after footage from today's accident. The death toll from the building collapse on Ibadan Street is now 8. NEMA says over 20 people have thankfully been rescued so far. Efforts are still ongoing. We know that it was an apartment building with multiple families. We know that it collapsed on Sunday night. NEMA is claiming that before the collapse, the building had been marked for demolition. NEMA is alleging that the building occupants had been defiant about the demolition order. Nigeria Info also spoke with a number of landlords and tenants there. And yes, what some of them had to say about the building being, in fact, earmarked for demolition a while ago.
They refused to leave. The other people came and marked the place. They even came to steal their shops. Sometimes they see them at almost 3 shops outside there. So after some days, now they start begging that they see they will leave, they come and open the shop for them. But with that, we have a series of meetings with them, telling them to leave the place because the place is so bad. They used to fight us. They didn't want to cooperate with us at all. They say we are just trying to change the tenancy law because we want to increase the rents. We said no.
Now, we have some tenants who disagree with the landlord that the building was earmarked for demolition. Here's what they said.
They called us for a meeting on February. They said, Lagos said they have come twice for this place. When I said, you put enough good there, they told us, okay. Then I said, they would give us March. We said, no, but the tenure, you people said we should pay till June, and we have paid till June. And that's okay. They will give us June, that we should be paid by June. And after we've paid, they will give us some to hold for the remaining time lapse. So that's what we discussed.
Meanwhile, NEMA says there's another building about 200 meters away that is also marked for demolition. That one is on Lagos Street. NEMA says that pebbles and other pieces of the building are already flying off. Now, of course, in a situation like that, the only course of action is to evacuate the building and perform demolition quickly, right? But we have residents who are already saying to the government, please don't come and do it. We don't want you to come and do it.
Please, we want the government to give us that. It is not easy. There is no money in Nigeria. People are struggling. We are suffering. It is not easy.
We're going to be following this story, and the more we know, the more you will know. But I want us to, first of all, talk about this idea that occupants or owners of a building can defy or resist a demolition order. We still have to confirm, a number of things, but you've heard from the landlords, you've heard from the tenants. We often talk about government negligence in situations like this, right? And it is a problem, right? But what about the other side of the coin, where a government agency is trying to do its job, but citizens are refusing to comply? How much does the lawlessness and non-compliance of citizens contribute to public disasters? Sometimes you even have citizens actively sabotaging the government trying to do its job. What do you think should be done in situations like that? What do you think can be done in situations like that? 01465-7190. Women, call me on that number. 01465-7190. Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. Our live stream is Nigeria Info 99.3, and you can watch for yourself footage from the building collapse today. You can leave your comments for us as well there. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3. You can also share your thoughts via WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 080-9 5975805. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sandra.
Thank you for calling. What's your name, sir?
Yes, this is Ufuma from Agodo Isheri.
Ufuma, welcome.
Thank you very much. You know, looking at the collapse of the building in Lagos, it's like the government, they are not doing anything at all. You know, if you can catch the man, but most of the buildings that have collapsed since last year, up to this day, the other one, the Koi, also is still there. How many people that government are brought to judgment? And how many, most of the due that the government has showed direct cash? At the end of the day, they will set up the panel. Even though the panel they set up is Ikoyi, do you even hear any final judgment from the Lagos State? They will just set up the panel at the end of the day. The panel will just end it. Until the government itself, the regulation, and those who are after the duty, take their fight. Until the government itself sends some people to jail, ban some people, then those people in the charge of duty in Lagos State, they will take the issue of building seriously. For now, since the government is here to do what is needful, the issue of collapsing, it will still be continued until government bring with its big armor and put end to this. So I always painful for those people who have lost their life now. The Ikoyi is still there. Many people lost their life. At the end of the day, did not hear anything after the plan. But we will get to try to understand.
Ufoma, thank you very much for calling. Now, Ufoma, you know, says that the blame is fully at the foot of the government. But how about situations where the government has actually done its job? Because if you hear from the landlord that our correspondent interviewed and you hear from NEMA themselves, they say government had already earmarked this particular building for demolition, which means that these lives that we lost could have been saved. The government had earmarked it for demolition a while ago. The residents continued to beg the government officials. So again, is it the government at fault here or is it the residents? Because residents have to evacuate first before government can demolish. And if government had gone in there and demolished and scattered people's property, people would have still shouted, oh, why did you go in there and demolish and scatter property? You should have still given them time. And even now, even though there's another building just down the road that has also been earmarked for demolition, you still have residents saying, I beg, give us time. If that one collapses, we're still going to call back in and say, government. So again, back to my question, this particular case now, citizens... anyhowness, lawlessness, non-compliance, does it contribute to public disasters? If a government agency is trying to do its job, but citizens are refusing to comply or are actively sabotaging government, what can be done in those situations? What should be done in those situations? 99.3, hello.
Hello, Sandra, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, what's your name, sir?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, what's your name?
My name is Adam. I'm calling from Agungi.
Adam, welcome. Go ahead.
Yeah, people are saying that the landlord that they are saying that they told them to leave the house.
Yes.
They did not agree to leave the house. Government said they told them to leave. After leaving the house, are they going to be sleeping on the street? Sorry.
Hello.
I've been to Ghana before and stayed across so many years. When government want to demolish anything like that, they will come, they will give you something. Take small, they give the tenants small, they go and take another house before you demolish. Can you come and tell people, say, you want to leave, you want to demolish, the house has been marked. No, it's quite all right, they have to leave.
Mm.
We all understand that.
Mm.
Would you give them something? You know, all this is, those people don't have any fault. The fault is on government. Can they just come and tell me to leave their house now without giving me anything? Am I going to sleep on the street? Because this house has something as that barrow now. People are making rubbish there. Now people have lost their life. How many Mr. President, the senators are sleeping inside that house? Rubbish. Thank you, my dear.
All right, Thompson. Thanks for calling. 99.3, hello. Hello.
Hello.
Thanks for calling.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name, ma'am?
This is Joy calling.
Welcome, Joy.
On this matter, poverty is still joy. No money to go and rent another house. Then landlord get the blame also because he has collected money. He's just lying there.
Okay.
So if you say I've given them some money, maybe they could have packed. Government, how long did he give them if you want to demolish a place? So is that between time now, whether they follow the time they give to them? So that's it.
All right, Joy, thanks for calling. You know what? Let's listen to the landlord again. Let's listen to what the landlord said again.
Can you tell us how come this whole building? We're hearing that the thing has been marked for demolition for a very long time.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. By the time it was marked, it's by the time we are asking them to go out, they don't go. When we're going to allow us that, for them to know that we are very serious in what we are saying. The house people came and marked the place and marked the house. They even came to steal their shops sometimes. They still have almost 3 shops outside there. So after some days, now they start begging that they see they will leave, they come and open the shop for them. But with that, we have a series of meeting with them, telling them to leave the place because the place is so bad. I have it on my phone here. We have series of meetings. This is our secretary. Series of the meeting we have with them. They used to fight us. They didn't want to cooperate with us at all. They said we are just trying to change the tenancy because we want to increase the tenancy rents.
And I'm still asking, you know, what happens when the government tries to do its job, but the citizens are getting in the way of it. What do you think about what you just heard from one of the landlords, you know, in that area? 99.3, hello?
Hello, Sandra.
Thanks for calling. What's your name?
This is Remy.
Remy, welcome.
How are you doing?
I'm okay.
We're all in this country. When the government went to demolish Otodogbami and the likes, despite the people's demand, government had their way. So this excuse of government not having the upper hand is a mere excuse.
Okay.
On several occasions, they bring down a community, even against court ruling. On several occasions, they were meant to be resettled. That didn't happen. In a senior climb, when things like this happen, you get to see that people are being resettled, whether they have money or not. Government resettled them, probably whether in a camp or somewhere. But when it comes to Nigeria, it's quite opposite. People get resettled. You want people who don't have where to go. Fine, you might say they were adamant to leave. Yes, agreed. Nobody really want to live for Banana Island if they have the choice. But they don't have where to go. So the moment government knew they want to bring down this place, why can't they find a way of resettling them in a particular place, probably for months? We know that won't happen. What government usually do is they bring down a building, and that is the end. The issue of Gerard, have you heard anything about it? Sandra?
Well, the panel released a report, but we haven't heard back from the government one way or the other. We do know that the Las Baca boss, who was suspended after he came out to say that you know, they intervened in the construction of that building, he has been reinstated after he was suspended.
You can imagine.
For a while. No, well, no, that one is not a you can imagine situation. I remember that story. And if you remember, he came out at the time to say the approval given to these guys wasn't the approval that they used to work. And at that time, he came out to say something that was different from what the deputy governor had said at the time. And I remember that people were angry that he was suspended, because they said, why are you suspending him for telling the truth, you know? So now he's been reinstated, and we're still waiting for the government to do something one way or the other.
We'll wait till rapture will take place.
Remy, thank you very much for calling. Because I remember the government did say that they were going to demolish the rest of the towers being constructed by Fourscore. I think it's Fourscore or Foreshore. But that hasn't happened, and it's been months. So we're keeping our eye on that story. Whatever happens there, you'll know about it. I've got a comment here on Facebook. Let me take some of them very quickly before we have to go on a break. Ochuko Christopher says, they're supposed to arrest the landlord. You claim you locked up the place and they begged you. You reopened the place. But when you reopened the place, is it free? Didn't you collect rent? Chukwuma Owakwe says, I get so angry when I see old men lie. If truly Alausa wanted to work, they would have demolished that building after one marking and not waiting for up to a year. I had a shop at number 1 Coast Street, Ebutemeta, and when the government marked my building, it was demolished almost immediately. I feel the landlord has some connections in Alausa that prevented them from carrying out their duties. All right. More comments on Facebook. Let's try and take as many of them as possible. Akimbowale Olusoji says, oh yeah, let the usual reaction start from everyone. Government, landlord, Lagosians, Nigerians. The reaction ends after 3 weeks at most. Then we forget and move on.
Okay. Huleji says, who's there to speak for the dead? As for, I can't believe that this man is saying, because most Lagos landlords are just money driven. Abidemi Aribike says, the only set of people I feel sorry for are the children who had no mind to take action for themselves. All the adults in there, sorry to say, deserve what they got. How do you continue to occupy a building already marked for demolition? And for the government officials who refuse to take appropriate action, may karma come for all of you. Oga landlord, so they marked your building for demolition, but you continue to collect rent, Abi? Abidemi with that message. All right, let's take a break. When we come back from this break, Yemi Osinbajo has asked NLC and TUC to help end the ASUU strike. That's our second story from this weekend. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. This is The Big Weekend on Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. 3:30, I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, and Yemi Osinbajo has asked NLC and TUC to help end the ASUU strike. The vice president, who is also running for president, was giving his Workers' Day goodwill message. By the way, I always wanted to ask, do you guys care about goodwill messages from public figures? That's something I've always wondered about. Do you care? Do you consider them news? There's an argument that anything a president or vice president or governor says is news. But there's another argument that these goodwill messages usually don't contain any new information or policy point, and they're just general greeting and encouragement, meaning that they're not really news. What do you think? Anyway, back to this particular goodwill message. Osinbajo said, quote, I appeal to ASUU and the broader labor community to seek the path of dialogue. Even as we disagree today, we must not do so as mortal adversaries, but as members of the same progressive family. We both want the same thing, a country that works for all and offers each citizen a fair deal. Even if occasionally we differ on how to achieve this goal, but at all times we have, through dialogue, found a path forward. It is in this spirit that I call on ASUU to embrace dialogue with the government. I call on the Nigeria Labour Congress and the Trade Union Congress to help facilitate a resolution of this dispute through dialogue. I believe that we can find a path forward in good faith, and this is what we will do, end quote. Now, it should be noted as a hard fact that ASUU has been in dialogue with the government over the current issues for over a decade. In fact, the current ASUU strike is over the so-called 2010 agreement. That 2010 agreement between ASUU and the federal government was the end result of a dialogue. But ASUU is accusing the government of not fulfilling that agreement after all the dialogue. Here's another fact. After years of waiting for the 2010 agreement to be implemented, ASUU returned to the table to dialogue with government again. That was at the start of President Buhari's first term. And in that dialogue, the federal government put forward an implementation plan to deliver on parts of the 2010 agreement. The end result was the so-called Memorandum of Agreement. Again, ASUU is accusing the government of failing to implement the MOA, which was the end result of dialogue. So the question becomes, Lagos, do you agree with the vice president that ASUU should embrace dialogue? Or do you believe that ASUU has been doing so already? And do you agree with the vice president that the Nigeria Labour Congress and the Trade Union Congress should persuade ASUU to end the strike and resume dialogue? Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. Women, call me on 01465-7190. You can also share your thoughts on our first story. We talked about the building that collapsed on Ibadan Street in Ebutemeta. So you can talk to me about the details from that story. We still have one more story waiting for us down the road. But let's talk to Lagos for a bit. 99.3, hello?
Hey, Sandra. Good. I greet you.
I greet you too. What's your name, sir?
My name is Kelvin.
Yay! Long time. Where have you been?
Well, I've been in and out of town.
Oh, okay. Mm. Welcome back. Good to have you on the show.
Yes, Sandra, regarding this building collapse, it's most unfortunate, and those that lost their lives
right.
and sympathize with their families.
Right.
But having said that, I think one of the problems we have in Lagos is enforcement of the law. The laws are not being enforced. There's a lot of, you know, racketeering taking place regarding this building collapse. And that has to be looked into. Because we can't continue to lose lives like this needlessly. And moving further, we as a people, you can see fire, go and put your hand inside the fire.
Mm.
You saw that this building is already marked, it's going to collapse. And you are given a reason that you don't have anywhere to go. Isn't it better for you to be alive, first of all, before talking about where you go to, than to stay in that building?
Mm-hmm.
So we need to begin to reason and know the kind of country we live in. We can't continue to do things, you know, carelessly because of government is not, itself is not responsible to me to an extent. But that does not mean we also should be nonchalant. You can say, building class, and you remain, look at the what you have played in the life. So who still wants to remain in some building that's been marked? Do you know when it's going to collapse? Is it going to come and tell you that I'm collapsing tomorrow? So, Lagosians, Nigerians, please, go and stay somewhere first. Be alive first. When you have life first, that is most necessary. They're talking about where you move to. And regarding the ASUU issue, I listened to the Labour Minister today, one of the channels.
Mm.
He said that agreement is not implementable. So I don't know how this is going to continue. They said they can't implement it.
Hmm.
So I think the battle is going to rage on, but it's a sad one.
It is.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling, Kevin. Always a pleasure to hear from you. 99.3, hello.
Auntie Sandra.
Sir.
Good afternoon, ma.
Good afternoon, sir. What's your name?
This is Mr. Fran, the Vice President of ASPA.
Welcome, Mr. Vice President.
Yes. As it under, let me start from this building.
Okay.
I joined you when you was playing the audio of the landlord.
Okay.
The one of the tenants have his own audio.
Mm-hmm.
That says that they have paid, the landlord have collected the rent of that place that will expire on June.
Mm.
When government sold that place, marked that place, why did they go ahead and collect more money? Then it was the second time when government came, and that was when the landlord said, okay, if people should go, that they will compensate the tenant. Why did you rent it for the first time? Are you hearing me? Understand?
I'm hearing you. Mm-hmm.
Now that money they paid is going to expire on June. This is May. Now, the house has been collapsed, and the landlord is denying that they have told the tenants time to leave. And there is another building. All these stories I'm giving you now is from our sister station.
Hmm.
There is another building close to that place. They tell that the landlord is even giving some people bribes. There, the people that, because if you come to rent that, now you ask questions, then the landlord will settle them to shut up so that those tenants will pay. And that place now, they said that government have marked that place. In close to this place now, this one, collapse. Now, let us come to ASUU tonight. Maybe a team bandor says that he is going to continue from where Buhari stopped. Only that question, only that thought alone could justify what he said here. What stops him to say, okay, we are going to pay you today or tomorrow. Please, don't be offended. They want to use political words to follow them. They don't want to embrace their love. But they want to embrace their love. Is that what he's supposed to say? If you do mistake and let any APC enter this place again, it's going to be a problem for us. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling, Frank. I should mention, of course, that all the experts will tell you that the government simply doesn't have the money to pay. They simply don't have the money to pay. So I don't think it's possible that the vice president will say, oh, we're just going to pay the money. It's a lot of money. And the Nigerian government doesn't have that money. 99.3, hello. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. Hello.
Good afternoon, Madam President.
Good afternoon to you, ma'am. What's your name?
My name is Glory.
Hi, Glory. Welcome, Glory.
Welcome, Glory. This is your last week. How is your health, ma'am?
Fine, thank you.
Fine, thank you. All right, welcome.
Thank
nice
you.
Nice to hear your voice again.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, talking about what just happened this afternoon at Evita, I think the problem lies between the landlord and the tenant.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
I think the landlord should have given these people a quick notice. Upon giving them quick notice, let's say they still have some balance with the landlord. The landlord should be able to give out the remaining money that they have, give it to them, let them make up with what they have, and then look for another apartment possibly before the time of this demolition. And not coming to collect more money from them. And now the deed has been done, lives have been lost. And now people are still crying, where would they park out to? So that is very bad. Now moving on to our Yemi Osibanjo, our professor. He spoke well as a professor, yes. But for over how many years, dialogue has been going on and on and on and on. The question is, has this dialogue been able to put food, put money on the table of these lecturers? No. So I don't think dialogue would be the best solution. As we are telling NLC and TUC to embrace dialogue or to meet us so as to embrace dialogue is not the way forward.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. We appreciate it. Let me quickly bring you our last story, right? And then we'll just keep taking your calls and your comments off of social media. Some union leaders in Lagos are calling for a minimum wage increase. We heard from Ismail Adejumo. He is the Lagos chapter chairman of the Radio, Television, Theatre Arts Workers Union of Nigeria, RATAU. We also heard from Adele Ajayi, Lagos chapter chairman of the Nigerian Union of Journalists, NUJ. And both men said that the minimum wage should be a living wage, meaning that a family should be able to survive on it. And they insist that the current 30,000 naira minimum wage does not meet that definition. Ajayi said, quote, inflation is rising every day. Therefore, there's need for government to increase workers' salaries. The last time the federal government proposed minimum wage was many years ago. So I think it is time for upward review. Workers need to be comfortable, to be more productive in different aspects of government parastatals that they find themselves in, end quote. By the way, when we talk about minimum wage, we should be clear that all employers are supposed to pay it too. It's not for government only. Government sets the minimum and every employer should pay it. So those of you who are listening to me who are employers, who have employees in the workplace, in the home, you should also be paying minimum wage. So when we're talking about should it be increased, you know, you should be also thinking about those who work for you as domestic staff, as your employees in your businesses, etc., etc. So with that in mind, do you agree with organized labor's call to increase the minimum wage? Do you agree or disagree with the point that the current 30,000 naira benchmark is far lower than a living wage, and you know, it has not taken into account the inflation of the past few years? Incidentally, in Edo State, they've increased the state minimum wage to 40,000 naira. That's a 25% increase. I wonder if you think other states should follow suit, and what number you think they should increase their minimum wage to. But yeah, coming back to the private sector, how do you think minimum wage can be enforced? I'm sure that we all agree that a lot of employers are not paying minimum wage to all their staff. What do you think needs to be put in place to make sure that we get more compliance across the board? It was Workers' Day yesterday, after all. Speaking of, at 5 o'clock today, we're going to talk about work. Don't miss that conversation. So you'll talk to me about the state of work in Lagos, in Nigeria. You'll tell me about your first job. You'll tell me about your current job. You'll tell me what you love about your job. You'll tell me what you want to change about your job. We'll have that conversation at 5 o'clock. But for right now, three stories from this weekend. Which one do you want to talk about?
0700-993-993-993. That's for men. For women, 01465-7190. Hello, thanks for calling.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name, ma'am?
Yes. Sandra.
What's your name, ma'am?
My name is Rose.
Rose, welcome.
Well, my name on show.
Welcome. Good afternoon.
I want to talk about this government and the lecturer.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Some of the children that are in school, they have gone to school and paid for 1 year rent. And now they are at home.
Right.
If they go back, the landlord will not agree that their money is still counting.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these children, they don't have father. It is their mother that is ugly to take them to school. Me, I am begging because I am a grandmother. I know what I'm saying. I'm begging both of them. Let them rub mine together and let these children get back to school because of the future of these people. Hello?
Hello, I'm here, Rose.
Yes. One of my daughters is supposed to have finished now, but she's at home. But she has paid for 1 year in school. What are we saying? Let them rub their mind together and save these children from this kind of a future destruction they are giving them now.
All right, Rose, thank you so much for calling. I feel you. 99.3, hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name, ma'am?
Yeah, this is Joy.
Hi, Joy.
This is Joy.
Hi, Joy. Okay. Welcome.
Thank you. Okay, I want to talk about what Josefa just said concerning the ASUU strike.
Mm-hmm.
But, if you tell me they don't have money, they don't have money, I would never, ever believe it. Because they have, how many aspirants coming out?
Mm.
And they all paid 100 million.
Those are individuals now. Those ones are individuals now.
Sandra, these people are civil servants, so.
True.
That had worked with Nigeria in the government in the past.
True.
What kind of business are you doing that is making you have 100 million? That if you have 100 million, that means you still have more. Because you still need to, 100 million is just for the tickets. You still need to go for the campaign. So that's why I said, I do not want to believe when they say Nigerians do not have money. And I refuse it. And somebody who is also begging government, saying, please allow the children to be. Just as we have lots of half big graduates that when you ask them one or two questions, they can't even defend what they say they study in school. It's just some of the students who have that exceptional that when you ask them, they can do well. But if you just ask some average students, they are half big. Why? I do not blame them. But because we don't have all the necessary facilities.
Oh, sorry about that, Joy. Call back if you can. George says, Sandra, I expected your station to share goodies. We share goodies every day. I mean, every single day we're sharing goodies. What's your issue, George? George says, VP Oshimba just appealed to NLC and TUC. It's like he's playing to the gallery. As a top government officer, is he not aware that NLC had already given a 21-day notice of strike in sympathy with ASUU, SANU, NAIT, and NASU. So appealing to the trade unions to help the striking groups embrace dialogue is like pouring water on a duck. I'm not in support of ASUU asking not to be paid through IPPIS on the ground, that employees do not dictate to employers how they should be paid, so long as they are regularly paid their full salaries. All right, George, thank you very much. Emmanuel Idogun says, what kind of country are we? Because you expect people to relocate without any support. Come on, it's not easy to pack family and goods. Now, what's the way forward? I hope the government will come to our aid. May the faithful departed have rest, and those injured, I'm wishing them quick recovery. All right, thank you, Emmanuel Idogun, for your message. Idowu Abayomi says, government should have made the provision for the residents to get another accommodation because it's not easy to ask people to leave when they have nowhere to run to. Mwabo Ambrose says, Sandra, I think the government of Lagos State doesn't know the value of human life. Why not hold LBCA responsible so that they can go back to their job? We've got Chinedu who says, President Sandra, okay, I don't know.
Chinedu, thanks for your message. We've got Wisdom Akari who says, please, these buildings collapse anyhow. What's the outcome of the Ikoyi building collapse panel of inquiry? Until some people are brought to book, this thing will continue to happen. All right, let's come back to Lagos. 99.3, hello.
Hello.
Good to have you on the show, sir. What's your name?
Hello, Sandra.
Mm?
It's a pity in Nigeria. It has become our custom and norm that when every incident happens, they will start a passing ball. You see, this Nigeria as we are, we don't want to tell ourselves the bitter truth. What I mean for that is that how many landlords is collecting rent all this way until the incident happened, started to pass ball, say, allow, that is a beating about the bush. Government has hand. The landlord has hand in this matter. Let's be frank to ourselves.
Oh, sorry about that. But thank you very much for calling. 99.3, hello?
Hello.
Hello, what's your name?
Good evening,
good
Sandra.
Evening. Good evening, what's your name?
Sharon.
Hi, welcome, go ahead.
So, my contribution is on the third theory.
Okay.
So, I don't know. I think that, what's on the top story again?
That story is minimum wage.
Yeah, minimum wage, yes. Mm-hmm. I think that's right, actually. They should increase it because, I mean, just like the way we are seeing it, before we know it, 20 naira, 50 naira will no longer be used in the market.
Mm.
Because we don't have use, our money is no longer having use.
Mm.
So they should increase it.
Okay. All right. Sharon says increase it. I was going to ask Sharon if that's across board, because whenever we say government should increase minimum wage, it means government should increase the minimum wage everybody can pay their staff. So if you have a driver, the minimum you can pay is 30,000. You're, of course, encouraged to pay more than that, but the minimum you are encouraged to pay is that it's not even encouraged by law. Minimum you're required to pay 30,000. If government increases it, it means that you have to increase your minimum. So what's a decent minimum wage, that can be paid? And how do you think it can be enforced? Because it's one thing to, you know, increase it. It's another thing to enforce the payment of it. So you can enforce it at, say, public organizations, government organizations, but how do you enforce it at private organizations, especially if allegations that the NLC is in the pockets of a lot of the private organizations are true? How do you enforce it? 99.3, hello.
Sandra, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. What's your name?
My name is Prince Wyatt, calling from Amuodo.
Welcome to the show, Ramadan Mubarak.
Eid Mubarak.
Eid Mubarak. Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, oh, Nigeria, including you, our president.
Thank you.
I love you. You are love of everybody.
Thank you.
God bless you. I bless your management.
Bless you as well. Thank
you
very much.
You see, wage in Lagos, that's not the question right now.
Okay.
What people should be yearning for now is all of us, all this cast of food stuff, this or that. This should be actually government to take us back to the land. Agriculture is the key now.
Mm.
What happened to farm settlement that we have over this? If somebody can work in a construction company, that fellow can work in the farm. Let government and individual set up farm settlement. If government pump a lot of money as a subsidy in agriculture, I think things will move better. But asking for a living wage now is not the issue. Therefore, that. Secondly, a first president. First president is not in position to tell the ASU, please go back to work. No, he's in position to invite ASU to his office to talk. If he invites ASU to his office today, those whom they sent to go and represent the government at the negotiating table. They are not doing the bidding of Nigeria. They are not the bidding of the students. So for me, what wrong with Mr. President, first president, to invite us to his office and conduct with Mr. President and talk straight to the issue that will be appealing That's a time you use appealing to. That's a time you use commanding to. This is time for the president, Mr. President, at the fight.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. We need to take a break. But thank you so much, Prince YS, for sharing your thoughts. I will quickly say that I don't think we respect farmers enough. That's why we think everybody can farm. I will tell you why when we come back from this break. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. This is the big weekend on Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria.
More conversation, more talk, more right after this.
It's not everybody that can do this work I'm doing in the studio. It's not everybody. Same way, it's not everybody that can farm. I currently have an aloe vera plant in my house that I'm killing because I don't know what to do with it. Right? So I bought aloe vera. And, I mean, aloe vera is the kind of plant that survives in the wilderness. You know, it needs very little attention and it will just bloom and blossom and flourish. But what is Sandra Ezekwesili doing with her aloe vera? She's killing it. Same thing with any time I try to have like flowers or plant anything in my garden, it dies because I don't know what the hell I'm doing. And there are a lot of people like me for whom farming is not the answer. So every time people say, oh, we should go back to the farm, let's all go and farm. We can't all farm. There are people who are gifted and who can farm. There are people who, if you train them, they could learn to farm. But it's not all of us. Like, I've received training after training about how to not kill my plants. And I keep killing my plants. I killed aloe vera, for crying out loud. Like, you know how incompetent a farmer you have to be to kill aloe vera? You know what I'm saying? So I think that when our solution is always go and farm, we're not respecting the profession as much as we should. Because with a simple way they do and with this in an easy work, because you have to get like the soil composition right, the watering right, the sunlight right. You have to get everything right. And I know this because my partner worked with an agri company for a long time. So I saw firsthand how hard farmers work. It's such a tasking, most of the time, unrewarding work. So I don't believe that farming, the way we talk about farming as citizens of this country, is the answer we want it to be. I don't believe that that's the answer. It is one of the answers, but it's not the answer the way we prescribe it. You get? Let's all go back to the farm. That's... No. It's like, let's all become broadcasters, or let's all become doctors, or let's all become... construction workers. We all can't be one thing. Let those who can do it, do it. What we should be saying is, well, how do we make the work easier? How do we industrialize the farming? That's what the conversation should be. So you tell me, oh, we're going to be an investor in farming, you know, buy a few machines so that a small farmer can upscale. I'll listen to you. Or, you know, put some money so that a farmer can buy more maize or raise an LPU. I'll listen to you. But we always say, let's all go back to the farm, as if that's the answer. It's not. Let's bring you Checkpoint next. You're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. Don't go away.